I am Edie Swift. Today is the 26th of March, and 2017, and I am interviewing Mark Green, a shack owner in Bonnyvale. We are interviewing at my home in Thrule. We are interviewing for the shacks in the Royal National Park project. The interview will go into the Wollongong City Library and Local Studies Program and into the New South Wales State Library. So, if you would like to start, Mark, can you tell me about your first going down to Bonnyvale, and then how did the shack come to be? And tell me about changes all along in the shack and in the community and things like that.
I think I first started to going to Bonnyvale when I was 5, which would be about 1958. And what happened, my father was a member of the Lions Club in Beverly Hills, and a lot of the members of the Lions Club had come back from World War II, and they were skiers, water skiers. And they established in Bonnyvale a boat shed called the Bonnyvale Boat Club. And there used to be a boat shed at the far eastern perimeter before you get to the first house in Bundina. And that boat shed was where they set up this club, and we all used to go skiing. At the time, a number of those people, people named Jilks, Poulton, Webb, all purchased shacks in Bonnyvale. All the Jilks shack and the Webb shack have since been pulled down. The Poulton shack is still there. That's owned by Julie Poulton, and that's directly in front of ours. Hers is number 6 and ours is number 12. At the time we purchased it, as far as I know, we were the last people to ever buy a shack in Bonnyvale. The shacks were originally created, as I understand, partly during the Depression, and the guy who owned the land had a big area and he had a shop up on the top, and he allowed people to essentially squat.
And what was his name?
I think it was Simpson, but I'm not sure. But he died. Supposedly in his will, which to my understanding has never been found, he left the shack land to the shack owners at the time. But that's just rumour, things I heard, but the will was never found. People tried to look for it, but at about the time we bought our shack, because we were the last people to be able to buy a shack. After that, under Premier Lewis, they stopped people being able to sell their shacks, which were licensed, essentially. People used to say they did that because Lewis's brother was in the caravan business, and he was granted a concession to put in a formal caravan park in Bonnyvale, and there was conflict between the shack owners and the caravan.
And what date did you build your shack?
We bought the shack, and then we pulled it down and we rebuilt a new shack, which is the one that's there. The one that was there when we bought it, I don't know how, it would have been there a long time, because it was very run down. The roof was of tar. The only thing I really remember about it was pink and blue, which were awful colours at the time. And when we moved in, my dad really liked it, because the people who sold it had left a sign on it saying, "Home where we're treated the best and grumble the most."
So what year was that?
That's about 1961, I think. I could be wrong on that. It might be a little bit later. My father got approval to demolish the old shack, and we rebuilt the shack that's there now. And
what year was that?
That would be about 1963, I think. And we continued, the Bonnyvale Boat Club continued up there, and then we We'd all take our boats down and we would water ski on Port Hacking and surf, and we'd basically spend most of our summers there, really. It was particularly convenient for my father because he was in the function and restaurant business, and it was interesting, he chose to buy a shack there rather than a house in Palm Beach. Palm Beach house would have been a better investment, but the shack was 40 minutes from work, so he could work, go down, leave the family there, come back to work, and so it became a big holiday place. And we rebuilt it. I think the time we rebuilt it was about the time that the, I don't know whether it's the National Parks or Roads and Traffic Authority, they actually put in a tarred and sealed road. You used to drive through the National Park and then it was a dirt road from the turnoff to Bundina, and which was one of the reasons my father was a bit reluctant to buy a shack, even though all his friends did. And he was a member of the Port Hacking Yacht Club, and so we used to go over there, put our boat in at the yacht club, and go by boat and stay in the Bonnyvale Boat Club for holidays. And then progressively, he just decided to buy the shack because all his friends were down there. And do you want to ask me some questions?
What was your father's name and your mum's name?
Noel Green and Mary Green. And my mother, she was born in Broken Hill, originally from Forbes, ended up in Sydney as a school teacher. And my father was grew up in Coogee, and he set up a business called Barclay Lounge, and then Tudor Garden Restaurant, started as a nightclub, and he had that in Bexley. And the St George area was a growing area, and that's where all the people we knew bought shacks and lived in Bonnyvale. Not lived in it. You weren't allowed to live there, although there were some pensioners who did live there. You weren't allowed to live there. You could use them as holiday lettings. There originally, I think, from my memory, when we bought ours, there were 300 shacks. When Lewis stopped people being able to sell their licences, the shacks progressively were pulled down. At one stage, the parks, the national parks or whichever department, were very aggressive in pulling the shacks down, and very aggressive in enforcing the fact that you couldn't use them for long stays and you couldn't do this, and they introduced more rules. My father was the first person to introduce porta gas into the shacks. Until then, everybody worked on kerosene. He introduced, just because of his background, really, he'd been a tradesman, and then in the club business he knew a bit about this, and so he introduced porta gas as a system and porta gas lighting and everything. Until then, everybody would use kerosene lighting, kerosene stoves, and that sort of thing.
Did you see a change, like when they started pulling down the shacks, and when was that, and why did they do that?
There was a change. It was at one stage, you would say, almost that at Christmas time, the population in Bonnyvale would be bigger than Bundina in a way, because the number of people who were in the shacks. Bundina's grown a lot, obviously. And everybody knew each other who owned shacks. There was sort of a community about it. Part of that, I think, looking at my parents' experience, was to do with the fact that a lot of the people who came to go there and use them were post-World War II people. They'd fought in the war. There was a new environment. Nearly all of them that I met and remember were self-employed. There were builders and electricians and plumbers, and there was people named Webb. I think one of the Webbs, I haven't seen her for a long time, but Pam, I've heard, they don't own their shack anymore, but I think she uses a shack or has a shack at the far end towards where the caravan park is. They're the sort of people, and they go down there for holidays, take their kids, and it was just a great place to go, and it was close to Sydney in terms of holidays. I think people probably don't appreciate it now, but this group of people we used to go with, we'd go to other places on holiday, so it was 3.5 hours to drive to the central coast, to Gosford, because of the old road and the traffic and getting from the south side of Sydney to up there, so you'd go there to ski, or you know, 3 days drive to get to the Gold Coast and various things. But so anything like the situation that was in Bonnyvale at the time, Bundina, where you could get to within an hour and then be on the water and that sort of thing was considered pretty spectacular. Also, at the time, when I first remember being in using the shacks, most of the homes you see in Cronulla at the end of Woolaware Road, they didn't exist. They weren't there. Mm. So you would be in the shacks and you'd look over and a lot of it was bushland.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, I guess, and I don't make the... could be a false positive, but a lot of the people who we knew who bought shacks ultimately ended up buying homes in Woolaware Road, land and things in Woolaware Road and in Cronulla, and then they used their shacks less. There were some people named Jilks. My father was very good friends with them, and they bought in Woolaware Road, developed their thing, and then they stopped using their shack, and they let someone, a retired couple, live there permanently until they died and it was pulled down. But they would still come to Bonnyvale, but they were on Woolaware Road and they had water access from their house and they would come across in their boat to Bonnyvale.
When did the water skiing stop?
Has it stopped? Do people not do it now?
Well, you don't have that building anymore for the club.
No. Oh, no, but
for
what
the water skiing.
No, well, what happened, though, that just next to our shack, there was an ability to put boats in there for a while. You would come in and you would put them down through a sand ramp on there. That's pretty much gone now, but that's what we used to do. We used to put the boat in there. And the other thing is that Bonnyvale is very protected from the weather in the sense it sits in the southern end of the bay and then it's got the hills behind it. So if you get really massive windstorms and everything, they go over the top. And so, and then with your prevailing summer nor'easter and everything, well, things just blew onto the beach. So it was a very safe area for kids. And so people, we'd go down there and we'd just leave our boat in for the whole time we were there. We wouldn't be pulling it in and out. So as the boat club came, ceased to be used and was pulled down, putting your boat in on the beach was a regular thing, but it wasn't a problem. You didn't put it in and out every day. You just put it in and left it there.
So
it's a good point. I hadn't thought, but you do still see people skiing in Baronier Bay because we'd take off in Simpson's Bay there outside the shacks, and you'd ski round to the ferry, and then you'd go cut back and go up Baronier Bay and then down round to Southwest Arm, and you could ski all the way up. It was fantastic. There are that many water skiers now, but that's what we used to do until we all grew up and got jobs and started moving in different directions.
Are you still water skiing?
No, I've got 3 daughters, and we went to Canada for a holiday and they were amazed that I could ski. I made them go out and have water skiing, but they've never been, despite my orientation to the surf and the water skiing and everything, they've never been big on that. Might be their Canadian mother. They like to ski.
But you do go down to the shack frequently.
Yeah. Yep.
And what number is it again?
12.
Oh, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, in terms of maintenance, I have 2 things I used to do. There was a guy who rents canoes. And so for maintenance and security, there's more problems with security down there now, and so I used to let him use it as a place where he could have his canoes and things that people could hire, and then he'd watch it for me. And with maintenance, I have a friend who's a carpenter, and he'll stay there from time to time and do the regular maintenance on it. I'm not a good carpenter.
So the changes now today are not as many cabins. And
I think there's only about 12 or 13 left, aren't there?
And what do you pay rent? Is that what you do?
Yep. I pay there's a quarterly fee, I think it is, and I pay it. And the cycle seems to be my kids are now interested in using it again because, like we did for our parents, when we got to about 17 or 18, the last place we wanted to go to was Bonnyvale with our parents. Then when we got to 23 or 24, we wanted to go to Bonnyvale as long as our parents didn't come. So you're in that gap where your kids don't want to use it much, but mine are just starting to want to use it now, as long as my wife and I leave them on their own to use it.
What's the future of that Bonnyvale, do you think?
Not much, unless they allow us to transfer the leases. Well, they're a license. They converted them from a permanent license to a revocable license, the parks, to stop us. Everybody I know are firmly of the view that the national parks and state government at the time, which is a long time ago, set out to destroy the community. And they set out to do it rather softly, in the sense that they took away their right to sell them, they took away their right to do substantial repairs and replacement to them, and they took away their right to have any other use of them other than you could self-use it. And in doing that, they then promoted through, as I understand, and I've never corroborated this, but I know all the people used to, they hated Premier Lewis because he did it, and they certainly did it to help his family who were in caravan parks. And they say, and I can't verify this, that it was that family that got the connection to set up the caravan parks in Bonnyvale. The attitude changed once Lewis was gone some time later. I remember having a meeting with Laurie Brereton's wife, whose name escapes me at the moment, but she was a minister in the Labor government. She was a very nice woman, and her idea at one stage was to try and resurrect the use of Bonnyvale, and she wanted to do things about trying to protect the shacks and all that sort of thing. I think she battled through the parliamentary processes. The only thing that happened is that the parks, and this is some time ago, became far less aggressive about wanting to dismantle the shacks, and then there was a proposal to try and preserve them as sort of national trust, I think. But that's very difficult if you can't maintain and use them. There was a suggestion one time, as I understand, and this is hearsay really, because I never got a direct approach from the government. I had a phone call about it, about the idea of restoring licences for 5 years with options, on the basis that people would then maintain, but part of the condition was that if it was to happen, they wanted you to make the shacks available for public letting. And I said I'd never agree to that, and the reason was not because I'm against letting it, it's just that there are no services. Admittedly, you've got gas now as opposed to kerosene and that sort of thing. But for my money, I think most people under about the age of 40 really haven't got a clue how to deal with kerosene or how to deal with porter gas in those circumstances and all that sort of thing. And I just said, you're inviting someone to kill themselves, and I would never agree to it. I never heard any more about that. I know that at one stage there was talk of some arrangement between the National Parks and Sutherland Council, which has control of Bundina, to try and do something in terms of looking after it. But I never got any correspondence from anybody, either the council or the park, saying what would happen or where that would go to. My general view is that essentially they just want us all to die and they'll put them all down. I don't know if you have a different view from your talking to the national parks, but that's just how I feel. And that is what's happening, because we were the last traded shack, as far as I know. And I'm 64, and I think that probably makes me the youngest person that still has an interest in the shacks. So I could be surprised. But, you know, life is not infinite. And so I guess when unless something changes, I just think they'll just all go away.
And you can't put it like your daughters can inherit it right now. I see.
Unless there's something changed that I don't know about, but certainly the government hasn't informed me of anything. What Lewis did was essentially fix the right to the family that had it then. So I've got a brother and a sister, both of whom are younger than me. But essentially, the way I understand it, once we die, it gets pulled down. And I think that's the same with Julie Poltenshack. She's got a brother, Greg, and Julie uses it. Julie's one of the biggest users, I think. And there's a girl named Helen still uses
Steve.
It.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She still uses that one. I don't know if Pam Webb, she'd have a married name, so I don't know what it is, but Pam, I was told by the Poltons, was using a shack at the far end, but that's not their family's shack. Their family's shack's gone. Her parents are dead. That's about it, really.
Has the community come together at all?
Not really. The community sort of died out. The only way it came together is that a few years ago there were some guys who vandalised a number of shacks and they were caught. And as part of their education, I say, so to speak, and as part of the process of proposed rehabilitation as opposed to punishment, they had to have a meeting with us and the police. And at that meeting, there were about six shack holders turned up, and we were the children, basically. And so we knew of each other's parents, but we didn't know each other particularly. Greg didn't go, Greg Poulton, who I know well and still see. The idea of the community was there, and the common view expressed to the culprits who vandalised the houses was a communal view, but essentially it was external to people who'd interfered with what, for all of us, were strong, long-standing and happy memories relating to what they'd done as kids and how they'd grown up and their relationship with their parents and the area and what it had been like and what it had been involved, which these boys, they graffitied thing, broke windows and did various
what
things.
What year was that?
Oh, gee. I'd be guessing, based on certain things happening in my life at the time, I'd say it might be as much as 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the last time.
Mm.
Uh, could be a little bit, certainly more than 5 years ago, because it happened when I was working other than where I work now.
Well, if you'd like to say anything else, and if not, I think we've covered it beautifully, mm-hmm. and we could conclude.
Yep. I think it's a great pity that the Shack community was demolished. I think it was a great pity that there aren't the preservation of all the shacks that were there and they're allowed to trade, partly because I think the simplicity of those holidays was fantastic. And also it was very communally orientated because you shared bathrooms and showers where the facilities were. People had tank water, but if you ran out, you had to get other people's tank water and then gas. And people were always borrowing and helping, and it was very good. I recently had a holiday with my kids. Recently, about 5 years, and we went to an island off Queensland with about six families, and all the kids in the six families were 15 and under, and there would have been about 20 kids. And on this island, there was no running water, there was no electricity, no mobile phone reception, and we were there for about 10 days. And it started off with the kids sort of having withdrawal systems from their electronic devices, and finished with the kids not wanting to leave because they loved it so much. And really what they did, it reminded me of Bonnie Vale. They sat round a fire and sang songs, and they played games and they talked to each other, and they weren't on electronic devices and pinned to these things. And I thought that was a really great thing for them. And they all still talk about the holiday. And I think when we were at Bonnie Vale, that happened every night of the week you spent there. The people in the various shacks would get together and play cards because there was no television. And also lighting wasn't great because it was kerosene lights or gas lights. So cards was pretty good because it was a bit harder to read, and so people would interact. Then people would walk, people would go to bed early. They'd walk along the beach, get up early. You ran a sort of lifestyle that was a bit orientated to the cycle of the day as opposed to other things. And I think that's essentially lost to modern communities, and I'm not sure that that's a good thing, but you can't stop progress. But I just think the social intercourse that was there is gone, and I think it could have been preserved better by government bodies that were who thought more about what they were destroying when they did what they did. And I think the modern government things, and this is speculation, I think there's a sort of acknowledged regret that perhaps in the past they did the wrong thing on some of these things. I don't know, but I think they can, the fact that they want to get National Trust involved in looking at some of these shacks, and the fact that they stopped the program of essential dismemberment funded and that sort of thing, is a recognition that perhaps they took the place in a direction that wasn't the best direction to take it. But speculation, isn't it?
Well, thank you very much. You've done a wonderful job, and I mm-hmm. thought it was a good idea to have the history recorded there mm-hmm. in Bonnie Vale.
Yeah.
And would you donate this to the Wollongong City Library and the Shack project?
Yes.
As well, and mm-hmm. and also to the State Library of New South Wales.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And also that would be the project there is there mm-hmm. as well.
Yep.
And would you say it would be okay if it was transcribed?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
No worries.